Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we're focusing on three topics. I'll do so briefly. First of all, the topic of Epiphany, which is ending today, or we could say officially on Tuesday. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Also the topic of love, as we think about today being Valentine's Day, and then also the upcoming season of Lent. First of all, the season of Epiphany, it really began when the wise men showed up to visit the baby Jesus. And especially when we think about the gifts that they brought, the gift of gold, because he is the King of Kings, the gift of frankincense, because he is the Priest of Priests, and also the gift of myrrh, pointing ahead, even when he was an infant, pointing ahead to the sacrifice he would make on the cross to take away our sins. And then as we continue in the season of Epiphany, we cover an awful lot during that season. So we continue with Jesus' baptism and then with his ministry. And really, what is the emphasis of his ministry? He is teaching and he is doing miracles in order to prove that his teaching is correct. And then we come to the end of Epiphany with the Transfiguration. That is, in the greatest way, Jesus showing the fact that he is the Son of God in human flesh. So that's a huge thing. If we don't know that he is the very Son of God, then as we move into Lent and as we come to the cross, we're going to be thinking, Jesus is a great guy, but him going to the cross, how can that help me? But when we know he is the very Son of God, then his perfect living and his sacrificial dying is for everyone, including you and me. We need to know that before we head into Lent. So let us be sure that with what he did on the cross, he did truly open heaven for everyone who is, by God's grace, continuing to repent and continuing to believe. Let us rejoice that God has not only brought us to Christ, but God is continuing to work in our hearts and lives, continuing to show us our sins, continuing to make us sorry, continuing to help us know that Christ is the one way, and enabling us to continue to embrace him as our only Savior. That's a summary of the season of Epiphany. Let's go on to the word love in the Bible. So I took a look in the New American Standard Version of the Bible, and the word love appears 348 times. 133 times in the Old Testament, 215 times in the New Testament. When we come to the topic of love, it should be a simple thing in a way, but it's a little bit more complicated. So there are actually four Greek words that we can think of that revolve around the topic of love. They're not always translated love, but sometimes they are. And a key thing here is they all include action. Like I tried to say to the children, love is action. So they all include action. You can see the four words there. The primary one in the Bible is agape love, but then we think about philia love, storge love, and eros love. Very simply, agape is usually translated love. Philia is thinking more toward friendship. Storge would be affection. And then eros would be passion, maybe what people think about more today on Valentine's Day. Let's get into it just a little bit further here. So going into the topic of agape love, it is the most common one that we find in the Bible by far. Almost all the references for love are coming from agape. The simplest translation for it is just to put down love, but keep in mind, though, it does involve action. When I talk about it being action, I want to share this Bible verse with you from 1 John chapter 3. It says, "Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth." I think a lot of love in the world today is a lot more talk than action. But let's keep in mind, though, the action is essential or it really is not love. This is how I kind of summarized agape love. Agape love is taking sacrificial action to supply the need of someone else. So it's not action that's going to benefit me, but I see someone else in need, and even though it might be difficult for me to take action, I take sacrificial action to help them with their need. So that's really getting at agape love, I believe. Let me give you some examples here. So in Ephesians chapter 5, we have the topic of agape love shown toward other people. So it says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." So that's not saying to husbands, say to your wives, "I love you," but it's saying, take action for your wives. And then it tells us how. It says to do it in the way that Christ showed love for the church. What did he do? He took action by laying down his life for the church. So husbands are called to take really huge, serious action for the needs of their wives. What about love toward God? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 22, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." That reminds us of the first commandment, doesn't it? You shall have no other gods. God should be number one. With all that we are, with all that we have, we should be loving God. And then what about love from God? We are very familiar with that. We think about the famous passage, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he waved from heaven and said, I love you." Is that what it says? No. "For God so loved the world that he gave," he took action, "that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then one final one I want to mention here as an example would be love toward things. Should we be loving things? Let's see what the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2. It says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So we do not want to love things. So let's try to separate this out a little bit. When we think about love, number one would be love for God. Number two would be love for each other. When it comes to things, we do not love them, but if a person got a thing for us, we should say thank you to that person. But ultimately, where did that person get the thing? That person ultimately got the thing from God. So when we think about a thing, we should be thanking a person, and we should ultimately be thanking the Almighty God. So we should not love the thing, but we should be thankful for the thing. The other thing here we should keep in mind is when we divide this up, we are loving what is eternal. We are thankful for what is temporal. So what is eternal? God is eternal. People are eternal. So we love them. Things are temporal. Take a look in 2 Peter. It says in the end, everything is going to be burned up in the world. All of that is temporal. So don't hold on to it too tightly. Do not love it. Rather, love God, love people. Those things are eternal. Let me just touch on the other three words here. We'll do so real briefly. So philia love, maybe the key word here would be friendship. But again, though, it's not just saying to someone, you are my friend, but it would be an action toward that person in regard to friendship, especially when we think about the word, think about the city of Philadelphia. So we have that very same beginning here as we write out the Greek word in English. So what is Philadelphia? The city of brotherly love. This word is very rare in the Bible, this exact Greek word, but there's a similar Greek word pronounced philos, and it does mean friend or it does mean close relationship, but it doesn't really have the action, though, of this particular Greek word. So this is the one for love involving action, as I've noted there. What's a little bit unusual is when we think about this Greek word philia, it does only appear actually once in the Greek New Testament, but it's used in a negative sense. Let me share with you what I mean. Right there in James chapter 4, it says, "You unfaithful people, do you not know that friendship," that's the word philia, "do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God?" What does that mean to have friendship with the world? That means to engage in sins with the world. When we do that, that is hostile toward God. There's nothing wrong with the word philia, but the way it's used in the Bible is kind of unusual. Like I said, it's used in a negative way. But the word is fine, though. It's great to have that loving friendship with someone else. And when, again, we have that friendship, there is action from us to that person, and there is action from that person to us. That is a wonderful friendship. And then we go on to another Greek word here. It might look like the word storage, but I'm missing a letter, but it's actually pronounced storge. So with this Greek word, probably the simplest way to define it would be affection. But again, though, it's not talking about affection. It is taking the action to show affection. So the action part is always important. This is also unusual in that this exact Greek word does not appear in the Greek New Testament, but it does appear twice, but it appears in a negative sense. So in other words, it's not defined as loving, but it's defined as unloving. Let me give you the couple examples here. In Romans chapter 1, if you think about the second half of that chapter, it talks about where God finally dealt with people who were so dead set on sinning. The Bible says God finally gave them over to those sins. It's such a sad thing. And then right toward the end of the chapter, it has a listing that characterizes these people that God gave over. And this is where the word is used in that list. It says these people are without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, that's the word here, unloving, unmerciful, and so on. It's a big, long, sad list. Another place where we have the word in a negative sense is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, we have this list of sad realities. These are talking about unbelievers. And it says, these are people who are unloving. That's the word. But then notice the other words in the list here. It says, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, and so on. It's a horrible list. But again, though, there's nothing wrong with storge, but these are two examples of how it is used in a negative sense in the Bible. We only have one more Greek word here, and that would be the word eros. Maybe that's the one that most people are familiar with outside of the Bible. It's not in the Bible at all, but that would deal with passion. And again, is passion a word or is passion an action? We have to think about that. If you're passionate, you're taking action according to that passion. But let's know that the most important love, the most important version would be agape. That is the love God has for us. Think about what Jesus said there in John 15. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. He did that for us. He loves us so much. God the Father loves us so much. He gave his Son. Jesus loves us so much. He lived for us. He laid down his life. So tremendous what he did for us. May that inspire us to show love for others. Finally, I want to go on here to the season of Lent real quick. We're coming to it this Wednesday, which is Ash Wednesday. So there are two inserts in your service folder today. So I want to just refer to those. You can look at them in more detail later, but I want to refer to them now. So one of them is a letter I wrote for the season of Lent. So in this letter, you're going to find out why during Lent we should be both sad and glad. Also during the season of Lent, this idea of gathering here twice each week. Why should we gather twice each week? Take a look at the letter. Also, too, there's something new that I'm going to do for the season of Lent, and I'm hoping that's going to be a great blessing to all of us, including me. And then you'll find the various sermon dates, titles, and readings that we're going to be focusing on during Lent. And finally, you'll see our service schedule, where we're gathering still Saturday, Sunday, but then on Wednesdays as well. It has the Holy Week schedule and so on. So those are some of the things in the letter. And then with the other insert, I want to just give you a little bit of a preview on that. So I'm calling it Three Easy Steps. And when you take a look here, what you're going to see on one side is you're going to see an outline of the sermon for Ash Wednesday. On the other side, you're going to see an outline of the sermon for next Saturday and Sunday. I'm asking everyone to take three easy steps. And they're laid out right near the top of the sheet on each side. And it's a real simple thing, but take the steps. And I believe that when you take them, God will bless you. Before I get completely away from this insert, I want to share with you a key passage I put on the insert. It's in Colossians chapter 2, and it's verses 6 and 7. It says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." So there are four key words, I believe, in those two verses. I believe that when you take the insert I'm giving you and you take action according to what it says each week, I believe that God the Holy Spirit, he will be at work as you deal with that insert in order to further root you, build you up, establish you, and make you thankful. I think those are all very important things for our lives in Christ. May God grant all of that for us twice each week as we move through the season of Lent. Let me conclude like this today. So I want to talk about a truth, something that's relevant, and then a little bit of inspiration. What is the truth? Jesus is the Son of God, and he is our all-sufficient Savior. He did absolutely everything. There is nothing we can add to what he has done, and we should never try to add anything to what he has done. How is today's message relevant? Well, love is an action. So let's always keep that in mind, and then let us truly love. Let us love God, let us love others, and let us take action in doing it. And then, what about the inspiration? Think about where we were all headed. Every one of us was headed to eternal punishment. However, through the finished work of Jesus, and through God giving us the gift of saving faith in him, we are on the way to eternal life. We should just be overflowing with gratitude, and may that gratitude inspire us to take loving action in order to benefit others. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we think about the transfiguration, let us be certain Jesus is your Son, and he did a finished work. As we step into the season of Lent, help us to know it's an important time as we think about Jesus going to the cross and taking away our sins, and help us that we would proceed through the season in such a way that you would bless us, that you would grow us up, and that you would move us more and more to take action for others according to their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.